Turn to James chapter 3. James chapter 3. How you say something can change your perspective. There's a Texas man that drove into a gas station in the hills of Tennessee. He is wearing a 10-gallon hat, wearing fancy cowboy boots, sporting a very fancy bolero and huge 10-gallon belt buckle. He had diamond rings on both hands, and he looked at the attendant and said, "Fill her up." And as he strolled inside, you know, sitting over to one side of the room on a stool was a Tennessee farmer. And the Texan looked over him and said, "Hey, you live around here?" And the farmer said, "Yeah, that's my place right across the street." He said, "Oh, it is, huh? How many acres you have?" And the Tennessee farmer said, "Well, I've got about 80 acres or so." And the Texan kind of frowned and said, "Huh, that's all?" He said, "Let me tell you about my place. When I get in my car very early in the morning, start driving on a straight line, and by noon, I haven't even reached the other side. Now, what do you think about that?" And the Tennessee farmer just looked over at the Texan and said, "Yeah, kind of know what you mean. I used to have a car like that myself." Does change your perspective and how you look at things. There was our topic tonight, many years ago, there was a lady who had a problem gossiping. And over, she had, just caused all kinds of havoc in the church. And just over and over and over, and she had said she was going to get right, and she'd come to the pastor asking for prayer. Pastor prayed for the lady, but nothing changed. This occurred over and over and over years. And she'd come to the pastor for prayer, never changed. She finally came and told the pastor that she was going to put her tongue on the altar. God had convicted her. The pastor just looked at her, because this had been years and years and years, and he said, "I'm sorry, ma'am, but I don't think we have an altar long enough." All right, and we're going to be looking at the topic tonight in James chapter 3, the terrible tongue. James chapter 3, verse 1, "My brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. For in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man, and able also to bridle the whole body. Behold, we put bits in the horses' mouths, that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. Behold also the ships, which though they be so great and are driven of fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth. Even so, the tongue is a little member, and boasteth great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body, and setteth on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire of hell. For every kind of beast, and of birds, and of serpents, and of things in the sea, is tamed, and hath been tamed of mankind. But the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. Therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. Doth a fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter? Can the fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries? Either a vine figs. So can no fountain both yield salt water and fresh." Controlling the tongue is one of life's greatest challenges. And we hear a great deal about freedom of speech and freedom of the press. It's kind of become a sacred cow. However, freedom of the press in our day means that you can brainwash everybody in a liberal viewpoint. And freedom of speech means that you can use vile and profane language. I would like to have it, as one man put it, freedom of hearing. I have only one mouth, but I have two ears, and I think my ears ought to be protected as well as my mouth. And in James chapter 3, in verses 1 through 12, We have God's definition of freedom of speech according to his university. And when you step into God's university, you will truly understand about freedom of speech. You understand that the tongue is deadly. And the tongue has poison, and the tongue can ruin all kinds of things. Controlling the tongue. One man said the reason a dog has so many friends is that he wags his tail more than he wags his tongue. And it's probably true. James has more to say about the tongue than any other book of the Bible has to say about the tongue. And I don't think it's a coincidence, because when you look at the book of James, you see that we talked about it last week. What is one of the points in the book of James? Be a doer and not a hearer only. It's practical Christian living. And in fact, in James chapter 1, it says that if you say you're religious and you can't control your tongue, your religion is what? In vain. Tonight, as we come to the Word of God, let's pray that God can convict us about our tongues. Heavenly Father, thank you for this evening. I thank you that we can gather around the Word of God. Lord, I would ask that you would deal with hearts. You would convict us. Sometimes we think we're so good. We think we're so righteous. Maybe we've grown up here. Oh, we've had the background. We've got some character training. But Lord, in this area, our tongue is let loose. And we cut people down. We malign people. And we think, oh, that's nothing. But according to the Word of God, it is something. And I pray that we would be truly Christian in the area of our tongues. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. 5:30 on July 16th, 1945, something spectacular happened. In northern New Mexico, it was still dark in the early morning hours, and the sky became as bright as the noonday. An atomic fireball shot upwards at 360 feet per second had been put into the air. First, it was pulsating orange, then bright red, then dark red, then black and rolling. It was a mushroom cloud, the characteristic mushroom cloud, at 30,000 feet. All that remained on the ground was a blast site, or on the blast site were chunks of green radioactive glass that had been produced because of the intense heat. What power, we would say. What awesome, unbelievable, destructive power that was unleashed that day. 21 days later, continuing in 1945, a horribly destructive power was brought to bear on our enemy, the Japanese. A B-29 Super Fortress bomber dropped an atomic bomb named Little Boy on Hiroshima, Japan. The co-pilot was named Robert Lewis, and as he looked down at the explosion, he said the words, "What have we done?" Now, 6 years later, six and a half years later, on December 20th, 1951, something else spectacular happened. In Arco, Idaho, the dark sky was brightened with light as well. Not nearly as bright as New Mexico 6.5 years earlier, but it was brightened just the same, and it was brightened by light bulbs powered by electricity produced from nuclear energy. Today, about 20% of America's electricity comes from nuclear energy. Electricity that powers homes and businesses and schools and hospitals and churches. The uranium that is used in the nuclear reactors that produces the electricity is the same uranium that was found in the atomic bomb. The exact same science was used in the reactor and used in the bomb. The same exact atoms and electrons And reactions and physics are used in each. So what is the difference? It's how they're used, isn't it? When one used atomic energy in an atomic bomb, it was a destructive force. When one used the atomic energy in a nuclear reactor, it brought light. It is a great illustration of the power of the tongue. The power of the tongue is in the same fashion, because you and I both have been affected by the tongue sometimes. And we've been affected in a good way, and we've been affected in a bad way sometimes. All in the power of the tongue. Just like that uranium. The uranium can be used for something good, and then it can be used to destroy hundreds and thousands of people. It's all in the power of that uranium. And it's all in the power of the tongue and your use of the tongue. And so this evening we're going to look at this idea. So first of all, let's look at some of the traits of the tongue. Look in verse 5. It says, even so the tongue is a little member. So that one of the traits of the tongue, in James chapter 3, it gives us the traits. It says, the tongue is very small, but very powerful. The tongue is very small, but very powerful. In comparison to an aircraft carrier, a rudder is very small. And it gives us that illustration. It uses the idea of a ship and a rudder, and it says that the rudder is very small, but it can turn the whole vessel. And in the same instance, the tongue is a little member, but yet it has great power. It can do so much. It can do good things, and it can do bad things. In fact, in chapter 3 and verse 2, for in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man, and able also to bridle the whole body. The Bible says if you can control your tongue, you master your life. Did you see that? If you master your tongue, you control your tongue, you master your life. Maybe that's why your life is in shambles. Maybe that's why you have no friends. It's not that there aren't people that are friendly. It's because the power of the tongue is unleashed, and it's disastrous. Disastrous. The tongue is very small, but very powerful. Look at verse 8. But the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. The tongue is small and it's powerful, but the tongue also is small, but very dangerous. According to this, in verse 8, the tongue has an unruly evil. It's full of deadly poison. One man said it this way, the most dangerous thing in the world has its den just behind the teeth. What is that telling you and I? That our tongues can be dangerous. Let me give you an example out of here. The Bible uses it, the idea of a fire. It says a little fire. How much a little fire kindleth. And so it gives us the idea of a fire and the danger of it. Fire is an amazing element. When it's under control, what does fire do? It warms our bodies. It cooks our food. It generates power to the wheels of industry. But danger comes when fire is out of control. The London fire of 1666 destroyed almost all of London. Mrs. O'Leary's cow. Remember in 1871, the cow knocked over a lantern, they say in Chicago, and devastated Chicago. So what is the Bible? The Bible is telling us that the tongue can be like a fire. Now, I was thinking of this, and I thought of an illustration. I think it was about 10 years ago. About 10 years ago, I went over to Okinawa to preach a couple of camps. I did a junior camp, and I did a teen camp. And I was working with Dan Gardner, one of our missionaries. And so I landed, we went there, and we were working, where the military base is in the city, there in Okinawa, he has a camp way on the other side. It might be on the south side, and if all the bases are on the north side, but it's a completely opposite side of where the city is, where the most of the population is there in Okinawa. So we drove way over to the camp out in the country, kind of. And it's beautiful. Okinawa is kind of a resort area for the Japanese. And so it's a beautiful area, but he had built a camp. He still has the camp. But what they do is they pile all their garbage on the side, and then they burn it. And so we were working one day inside, and he said, hey, do you mind going out and burning the garbage? I was like, I can do that. And so I went out, and he said, oh, yeah, there's a thing of gasoline. Just pour it on there and just light it. But just let it burn. So I go out there, I douse it all with gasoline, and I light it. And I'm sitting there just watching the glory of the blaze. Then all of a sudden, I got this weird feeling that it was just kind of going too well. And all of a sudden, the tree above it caught on fire. The tree above it caught on fire, and there's trees everywhere. So I go shooting in, and like, Dan, hey, there's a fire out there. He's like, what are you doing in here? Get out there. And so we go, and I mean, it took us forever. Finally, Dean, you would love this man. Finally, he had a backhoe. He came over, and a backhoe, I never knew that it could fix everything, all right? But a backhoe can even put out fires. He was over there, and he's just grabbing stuff and throwing it everywhere, and finally, we got the fire out. But it was just, I mean, it was just burning garbage. But a fire can just take off. Most of you have probably had an experience with something like that, that a fire just took off and you thought that you had it under control. And it's the same thing. The Bible is trying to illustrate that to you and I, that the tongue is very small, but it's dangerous. And some of you, with your tongues, you just let this little bit slip and this little bit slip and this little bit slip, and you say, I've got it under control. Then all of a sudden, it's out of control. And that's what your tongue can do. Your tongue can do that in your home. You might be a teenager and you say, oh no, it's just a little bit of back talk. Just a little bit. And you think you got it under control. You don't have it under control. You don't have it under control at all. Why? Because the Bible says that out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. And so when that puke comes out of your mouth, what it's saying is your heart is rebellious. That is festering inside in your heart, and it's finally coming out. The tongue is very small, but it's powerful. The tongue is very small, but it's very dangerous. But the tongue also is very small. But look at it, verse 9 and 10. Therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. What is the Bible telling us? The tongue is very small, but also very revealing. What comes out of your mouth, and we already kind of touched on this, and some of you, you've grown up here. You've grown up here, and maybe in the area of character, maybe in the area of work ethic, oh, you've got it together. But when it comes to your tongue, it is loose. When it comes to your tongue, you let it wag all over the place and you cause damage everywhere, talking about this person and talking about that person. And your tongue is revealing what's inside. You can have the appearance and be dressed all sharp and dressed all nice, but your tongue reveals what is inside you. You have a wicked heart. And you may think such and such about this authority, or you may think such and such about this young couple. But I don't care what you think. You shut your mouth. You control your tongue. Because it's revealing what's inside. Some of you, you can criticize everybody. You can criticize the best of the best. But when it comes to yourself, when it's turned back on you, when the authority says, hey, you did this, all of a sudden you're turning it back on us too. Because you can criticize everybody, but you can't take it yourself. And you're wagging your tongue, thinking you're so great, but what it's showing is you have a wicked heart. The tongue is very small, but very revealing. Remember, Christ said that. We already mentioned it. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Gossip went whispering through the town. Someone had a character she wanted to tear down. So gossip found a silver thread to weave and weave and weave, a very lovely pattern that was fashioned to deceive. She tore somebody's crimson gown, threw stars upon the ground, vanished children's laughter, scattered doubt around, plucked roses from the garden, stuck pens in toy balloons. Gossip went a-whispering through many nights and noons. The Bible tells us that we need to be careful with our tongues. There are 10 phrases to avoid when it comes to speaking. Number one, I heard. Number two, they say. Number three, everybody knows that. Number four, isn't it awful? Number five, of course I don't believe this, but. Number six, don't say that I told you, but. Number seven, I think it's perfectly terrible. Number eight, just between you and me. Nine, don't breathe it to a soul. Number 10, you can take it for what it's worth. What are all those things? Just turn to the person and say, you got a loose tongue. You want me to cut it off for you? Let me trim it. Because it's wagging. And it's wagging really far out there. I think it's hitting the ground. You got enough of it, I can cut half of it off and it'll still do you plenty of good. Because most of us, our tongue is loose and reckless. And it does a world of damage. And the Bible says that the tongue is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. The tongue. That's some of the traits of our tongue. But the Bible here tells us how to tame our tongues. How do we tame our tongues? Well, in the book of James, it tells us this. Look at James chapter 1 and verse 19. Here's the first way to tame your tongue. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift. That means fast. That means quick. Swift to hear and slow. That means not that fast. Right? Look at how simple the Bible is. We're supposed to be swift to hear and slow to speak, slow to wrath. So how do I tame my tongue? You know what I should do? Listen more than I talk. Now, some of you, you talk and you talk and you talk, and you never listen. So just close the trap once in a while and let somebody else talk. I read about a boy that was dating a girl. And they were out one evening, and the girl just didn't, she wasn't saying anything, and normally she was talking a lot. So finally he's like, man, you just aren't talking that much. It's like, well, I don't really have anything to say. It's like, you know, you're just not talking that much. It got to the end of the evening, and he said, you know, are you always like this? Do you always just be quiet when you have nothing to say? She's like, yes. He was like, darling, will you be my wife? All right. Now, I thought that was fitting there. But we should listen more than we talk. In Proverbs 29, it says, seest thou a man that is hasty in his words? There is more hope of a fool than of him. Most of us, wouldn't put up with a fool in our house. Most of us wouldn't put up with a fool walking around, and we'd say, man, that guy's a doofus. He doesn't have any knowledge. He has no wisdom. And yet most of us put up with a wagging tongue, and the Bible says there is more hope of a fool than of a person that cannot control his tongue. And you read the book of Proverbs and you'll see what the Bible says about a fool, and the Bible says there is more hope of a fool than if you can't control your tongue. So we should listen more than we talk. Abraham Lincoln said, it is better to remain silent and be thought a fool than to open your mouth and remove all doubt. Calvin Coolidge said, I have never been hurt by anything I did not say. Most of us have been hurt by words, or we've hurt others with words. In Proverbs 10, the Bible says, in the multitude of words, there wanteth not sin. But he that refraineth his lips is wise. So how do we tame our tongue? We listen more than we talk. In chapter 1 and verse 26, it says, if any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue. So the Bible tells us here that I should listen more than I talk. And then the second thing is, I should control the words that come out. I put a bridle on it. I control the words that come out. There are some people that say, oh, Jeff, that just slipped. I remember a good friend of mine. We grew up and we were very close friends. He was a good Christian. He's in the ministry today. But I remember we played softball, and we were at softball practice, and we were practicing on the blacktop, which is bad when you're practicing softball. I mean, the balls were just whipping by, and he was our first baseman. And we were good friends. We would pray together. We'd do all kinds of, we went soul winning together. Well, we were at practice one time, and somebody grabbed the ball, threw it to the first baseman. He was the first baseman. He missed it, and he cussed. All of us just turned, because I'm saying his testimony was spotless. We all just looked. I mean, our mouths dropped. The coach just looked. We all just stopped. He's like, I don't know where that came from. But later on, we were talking. And you know what? He's watching a lot of TV. Watching a lot of things that he shouldn't have been watching. And guess what got inside? The wrong things. And it just slipped out. No, it got inside his heart. And the Bible tells us one way to control your tongue is to control what's coming in. So when you control what's coming inside you, you can control what's going out. Remember my computer teacher. Those of you old school computer teachers, when we were writing programs, he would always say, G-I-G-O. What that meant is garbage in, garbage out. As we'd come in and we'd try to program something, we'd try to work on something with the computers, we'd say, man, this stupid computer, what's wrong with it? And he'd say, no, don't blame it. It's just a machine. What you put in is what's coming out. He said, you messed it up then. And it's the same for us. What we put in comes out. And when you put in and you're feasting on filth, and when you're feasting on wrong things, and that's why it is dangerous to feast on gossip and to feast on bitterness and to feast on wrong things, because guess what's going to happen? That inside is going to take root. It's going to grow up, and all of a sudden, it's going to come out and you're going to say, where was it? Well, you've been feasting on it. You've been sitting down at the dinner table. You've been at the buffet of gossip. You've been at the buffet of wrong speech, and you've been taking it all in with your ears, and now all of a sudden it's coming out. You need to stay away from it. We control the words that come out. Spurgeon found this, and he said, the boneless tongue, so small and weak, can crush and kill, declared the Greek. The tongue destroys a greater horde, the Turk asserts, than does the sword. The tongue can speak a word whose speed, the Chinese say, outstrips the steed, while Arab sages this impart. The tongue's great storehouse is the heart. From Hebrew wit this maxim sprung, though feet should slip, ne'er let the tongue. The sacred writer crowns the whole, who keeps his tongue doth keep his soul. Learn to hold your tongue. Think about this, five words. Five words cost Zacharias 40 weeks of silence. Five words cost him 40 weeks of silence. And you know what? Our words can cost us an amazing penalty. And some, you say, well, I'm not an alcoholic. I'm not this or I'm not that. Oh, but we don't control the tongue. There was a boy, a young man, who was sent to Socrates to learn oratory. On being introduced to the philosopher, he talked so incessantly that Socrates doubled the fee. And the boy, the young man, said, "Why are you charging me double?" Socrates looked at him and said, "Because I've got to teach you two sciences. One, how to hold your tongue, and the other, how to speak." And he said, "The first science is the most difficult." Think of the difference controlling the tongue made in the life of Peter. He was warming himself by the devil's fire. He was there, and all of a sudden, the little maid or the maid came up, and they looked at him, and they said, "Wait a minute, aren't you one of the followers of Christ?" And pretty soon, because he could not control his tongue, he cursed, trying to prove that he wasn't a follower of Christ, and he hung his head and wept. Remember that? But he learned how to control the tongue. He saw Jesus' look, I believe, and it pierced his heart. And there he waited, there in Jerusalem, and the power of God came upon him. And then his tongue was controlled, and it was unleashed properly. And 3,000 got saved. You see, we can, from our tongue, produce good things. We can use our tongue aright. But so many, some of you sitting here, you haven't controlled your tongue. Oh, you're not addicted to alcohol. You're not addicted to cigarettes. But I can tell you this, in Proverbs chapter 6, the Bible doesn't say that the Lord hates either of those things. What does the Bible say the Lord hates? Well, in Proverbs chapter 6, he doesn't list alcohol and he doesn't list cigarettes. What he says is this: six things doth the Lord hate, yea, seven are an abomination unto him: a proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, and heart that deviseth wicked imagination. Look at this: feet that be swift in running to mischief, a false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among the brethren. Three out of the six are about your tongue. So you may say, "Well, man, I am good. I've given up my alcohol. I've given up my cigarettes. I read my Bible," and your tongue is loose. I tell you, you're an addict. You're an addict to gossip. You're an addict to the wrong speech. And the Bible says God hates your tongue. He despises your tongue. And he says, get it under control. How do we control the tongue? How do we tame it? We listen more than we talk. We control the words that come out. Then in chapter 4 of our text, in James 3 is there, but in chapter 4, look at verse 11, says, "Speak not evil one of another, brethren. He that speaketh evil of his brother and judgeth his brother speaketh evil of the law and judgeth the law. But if thou judge the law, thou art not a doer of the law, but a judge." Look at chapter 5 and verse 9. "Grudge not one against another, brethren, lest ye be condemned. Behold, the judge standeth before the door." What is the other thing that we must do? The tongue must be bridled. The tongue must be controlled. And we control the words. We listen more than we talk. And we stop the gossiping from coming out. That's very similar. He that hideth hatred with lying lips, and he that uttereth a slander is a fool. James says that the tongue is more deadly than a runaway horse. And we already mentioned this, liquor is a curse in our nation. But the Bible has more to say about the evil of the tongue than it does about liquor. And some of you tonight, you haven't tasted a drop of liquor, but you have caused more damage than liquor could by the wagging of your tongue. A careless word may kindle strife. A cruel word may wreck a life. A bitter word may hate and still. A brutal word may smite and kill. Stop the poison from coming out. And then look in chapter 3 and verse 17 and 18. It tells us here that we've got to control the mouth. We've got to listen more than we talk. But look at verse 17 and 8. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable and gentle and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. Notice, but the wisdom that is from above, we've got to seek to have a wise mouth. So how do we do that? How do we do that? Look at chapter 1, verse 5. If any of you lack wisdom, you don't have a wise mouth. How am I supposed to tame my tongue? I got to listen more than I talk. I got to control the words. But then I've got to entreat God's help. I've got to go to the person that can do it. You don't have wisdom enough to control your tongue. You don't have enough in you. And God says, the wisdom that is from above, hey, that's pure. And it brings peace and gentleness. So how do I get it? I don't understand. Where do I go, God? He already told you in chapter 1. He said, if you're lacking wisdom, let him come. Let him come to me. And he tells you if you ask him, God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, it shall be given him. Oh, we can control it. I put it all into an acronym because I knew Eric was here. How do we control the tongue? C, control your speech. O, open your ears more than your tongue. N, never participate in gossip. T, tame the tongue. R, realize the power in your tongue. O, overcome good with evil. And L, limit the garbage intake. How do you control the tongue? Proverbs 10:21 says, the lips of the righteous feed many. How are people around you? How are they feeling as far as their spiritual appetite? The Bible says if you have the right lips, your words bring them, in essence, sustenance. Your words, spiritual words, feed people. And if we have the lips of righteousness, if our lips are speaking right, guess what's happening? There's growth all around us spiritually. Now you look at your home. You look at the people you're involved with. Are they growing spiritually around you? Then maybe it's your loose tongue. Maybe it's because there's putridness coming out. Oh, you think you're good, and you think you're better than everybody else, and you should see this person, and you should know what this person is doing, and oh, what about this person? No. It's you. Control the tongue. There was a rabbi many years ago. This was in the 90s. There's a rabbi that went on tours, and in fact, I was reading about it. I don't think it ever got through, but he got a couple of senators to put a bill together. And they were going to have a, like, I don't know if it was a nice speech day or something like that in America. But this rabbi would go around and he would speak on the power of negative words. And this is what he would do when he got done or halfway through. I can't remember which it was. But he would stop and he would say, I want you to commit to 24 hours of negative speaking. He said the response from the crowd was amazing. He had some people that would just bust out laughing. They thought it was a joke. He had some people that would, you know, sheepishly raise their hand and they would do it. And other people would yell out. He said there was a good group of the people that just yelled out and said, no, just like that. And then he would turn and say, you know what? If you couldn't last 24 hours without alcohol, I'd call you an alcoholic. And if you couldn't last 24 hours without smoking, I would say you're addicted to nicotine. And he said, some of you, you can't commit to 24 hours without your tongue doing damage. I say, you don't control your tongue. Now, I think that pretty soon, he wasn't invited back. This guy. But what was his point? That we just don't think anything of, oh, they're really bad. What did you just do? Gossip. Slander. What does the Bible say you are? Fool. You're a fool. Because we can just say whatever. Oh, that's not doing anything. Well, let's bring you up here and ridicule you and laugh at you and mock you. The only time we can do that is empowered you. All right, as Pastor Bishop says, he can't figure it out because they want it. All right, and he says, I got to get that gift. He said, they're asking for you to make fun of them. But if we brought somebody up and we just belittled them and made fun of them, and then we say, hey, you know what, it's just words. Grow up. No, you know it, and I know it. Because words hurt. And they have an effect. And you not controlling your tongue, you are not religious according to this. Your religion is vain. What is that saying? Your religion is empty. It's hollow. You're a hypocrite. It's all on the outside and hollow on the inside. If you want to have the kind of church, like the kind of church you like, you don't need to pack a lunch and start on a long, long hike. When everything seems to be going wrong and trouble seems everywhere brewing, when prayer meeting, youth meetings and all seems simmering and slowly stewing, just take a look at yourself and say, what's the use of being blue? Are you doing your bit to make things work? It isn't the church, it's you. So if you want to have the kind of church like the kind of church you like, put off your guile and put on your smile and hike. My brother, just hike. To the work in hand that has to be done, to the work of saving a few. It isn't that the church that's wrong, my boy. It isn't the church, it's you. When it comes to our tongue, it's normally not everybody else. It's us. And sometimes because our tongue wags so much, and when it comes back, we're like, oh, that's not fair. Oh, you're feeling the power of your own tongue. God says that we can. According to the passage in James chapter 3, we can have fresh water coming out, spewing out, and it can provide goodness and wholesomeness, and it can provide righteousness. And according to James chapter 3 and verse 17 and 18, we can have gentleness and peace and all of that. It can come forth with wisdom. But it's not going to do that if you don't go inside and clean out that cistern. Because some of our cisterns are just filled with gunk and junk. And it's been needing a good cleaning. Heads bowed, eyes closed. Preaching on the tongue and the power of words. oh, hey, I haven't heard anybody in the last week, so I must be okay. Are you controlling your tongue? Just letting it loose? Are you bridling it? It takes work. Are we listening more than we're speaking? Are we going to God and saying, God, my tongue is loose. Help me with it. All words have an effect. And our words should have a spiritual effect. According to Proverbs, the lips of the righteous feed many.